Next on BYUSN, what's next for BYU football at quarterback? Several national reports say Jake Retzlaff is transferring. So who has the inside track to the starting job now? BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss how the potential departure of Retzlaff impacts his expectations for Cougar football in 2025.
Brett McMurphy reports that the Big 12 is doing away with the preseason football poll. Is it a good move? And where would BYU fall if there was a poll today? And BYU men's basketball assistant coach Will Voigt breaks down what it means for BYU basketball to have a top 10 pick in Kevin Young's first season as head coach.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. The final day of June. Happy Monday, June 30th, to be exact. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. It's been a minute, Shep, we've hosted a show together.
Look, 'tis the season in the summer because our schedules go nonstop from about August through the end of May. So once we hit June, it's kind of vacation time. You were gone for a couple of weeks, then I was gone for a couple of weeks. So we really haven't done a show together in about a month. So it's good to see you.
Well, we have plenty to discuss today as we reunite on the desk. With that said, I'll rise and shout. Let's get right to what's trending.
We want competition at every position. Competition will make sure that you get the best guys playing.
I feel good about the entire team and our depth. So a lot more to prove.
Perform on the field, and then we want to get this QB factory up and running again.
Destined for a quarterback battle after all at BYU. Many of you have been very active on social media over the weekend, and we know many of you have seen several updates regarding the legal situation surrounding BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. So let's give you a quick summary. KSL and ESPN's Pete Thamel lead a group that is reporting that a civil lawsuit against the quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, is now likely to be dismissed. Attorneys for both sides filed a joint motion to dismiss the case earlier this morning. Coupled with that, several reports also, including ESPN's Pete Thamel, say that Jake Retzlaff plans to transfer away from BYU in the immediate future. So, Shep, naturally, we're looking at BYU football going, okay, what does that mean for the Cougars? What's next? If the report holds true and Jake Retzlaff is indeed leaving BYU, what in the world do the Cougars do next at quarterback in 2025?
Well, now there is a quarterback battle if this is indeed true, and we get an opportunity to follow this throughout fall camp to see exactly where A-Rod and Kalani and this coaching staff wants this offense to go, and the guy that they feel is best suited to take the reins of an offense that we know and have talked so much about that has so much production coming back and some real key playmakers to be able to utilize. And I think that's sort of what my lasting impression of this whole thing is whoever the quarterback is, and we're going to go over the guys that will be in the mix in a second, but whoever gets the reins of this offense, boy, what a luxury do they have to have the offensive line that they will, to have the playmakers at receiver and at running back. They're going to be able to walk into a situation where you've got a ready-made offense. The other part about this is guys like Trayson Borgay and McKay Hillstead, guys like this, they were in this system last year. And yes, they did not start, they did not play a game, but they were around this system for an entire year. So they understand the scheme. They understand terminology. You're not starting at zero for these guys. So let's go over who we're talking
about.
Let's
do it. And come on, it's never ideal to be in this circumstance where you have to now shift your position and you're not going to have your incumbent coming back and you're in this situation. So it's not easy. And let me speak collectively for all of us at BYU Sports Nation. Whatever happens to Jake in his football career, wherever he lands, we certainly wish him the best and hope it all works out for him. But now, naturally, as a BYU TV, BYU Sports Nation show, we have to think about what's next for BYU football. So to your point, Shep, let's lay out the three options that BYU was looking at to be the starting quarterback.
All right, let's start with Treyson Borgay. Obviously, does have starting experience. Eight starts with Western Michigan. He was the 2022 Southern Arizona High School Player of the Year. So obviously a really good high school quarterback. 1,300 yards passing, six touchdowns and two interceptions while at Western Michigan, but then transferred to BYU in 2024, as mentioned before, did not play in a game last season. So even though he's not started here, the good news is he does have starting experience in college football and has shown to be a very good passer.
Two clear advantages for Treyson in this mix of quarterbacks, beginning with, as far as calendars go, he has been with the program the longest of the three, which means, naturally, he's had the most time to be mentored and tutored by Aaron Roderick, to watch from the sideline what's happening with BYU football, to be in the playbook longer than most. Also, at 6 feet 2 inches, he, compared to a guy like McKay Hillstead, has a significant advantage.
He's 5'10", by the way.
In his sight lines, okay? The size of Treyson Borgay should be and will be an advantage in this competition. But as we get to McKay Hillstead, we'll talk about some of the things that he does that maybe Treyson doesn't do as well. Notably, Treyson's not as good of a runner as the other two quarterbacks we're going to talk about. The thing I'll add here as we talk about all three, Jason, is while it is not convenient or fun to have to shift position right now, late June, and get ready to do this, BYU's schedule is conducive more than other years to ramping up a new quarterback because the non-conference on paper is not a world beater. I mean, BYU has FCS, you have Stanford at home, and then you're at East Carolina, and even the first three games in the Big 12, the first six together will allow whoever the quarterback is, you would think, to ease into things before it gets really tough in the back six. So that is an advantage for all three.
Well, and it goes back to what this team has coming back on offense. If you're going to be in a situation of trying to get a new quarterback, you know, with a couple of months before the season starts, this is the kind of offense that you want to put them in because of Chase Roberts. And, I mean, all of these guys, you have so many playmakers on offense, and you're coming off of a year that built so much confidence offensively that I feel like this is an offense that really can pick up where it left off. And I do like the fact that these guys have been in the system for a full year.
I feel like I'm watching an episode of Friday Night Lights to a degree. And Jason Street, your star quarterback, is out, which means little Matt Saracen comes in and is asked to do a lot of things. Now, McKay Hillstead is a guy that Kalani Sitake and others on the BYU staff were very excited to bring into the fold when he opted to leave Utah State and come to BYU and build that quarterback depth. 5'10", 195 pounds. He was a star at Sky Ridge High School. Kind of reminds me of Mighty Mouse, Jason, because while he is not great in stature, man, he's got a great arm. Probably throws the best deep ball of any quarterback on BYU's roster right now, and that's including with Jake Retzlaff. He throws a beautiful deep ball. What do you see when you look at McKay Hillstead? I can't help but want to add that he's a pretty good runner as well.
And that's what stands out to me the most is we've seen over the last couple of seasons the emphasis put on quarterbacks that can also be mobile and make plays with their legs. That has become more and more of a premium, not just certainly in college football, you're seeing it more and more anyway. You've got to be able to do more than just throw the ball. But it seems like A-Rod has really gravitated towards those types of players that can give them that dual threat. So that's the first thing that stands out to me is his ability to not just keep plays alive with his legs, but also make plays with his legs.
I'm a little worried about the physicality of Big 12 play and McKay Hillstead being able to take the hits that he does when he runs because he's just got that attitude. It's like Riley Nelson light to me, Jason. Mm-hmm. He brings that type of swagger and confidence. You want your quarterback to have that. But I'm a little concerned that maybe if he's running too much and takes some of those big hits from those defensive ends of Big 12 schools, that it's potentially not going to end well. So that does concern me. He's a little bit interception prone as well. It's interesting. I mean, you look at all of these guys. They all have clear strengths and are all very capable. But there are question marks surrounding all three, which takes us to the next and maybe the most intriguing because we don't know that much about option number three, but he comes with the most significant star rating of any of the three, and that's Bear Bachmann.
Yeah, the wild card in all of this, and I think we're all asking ourselves, would BYU go with a freshman quarterback? And I think there can be a case made for it and against it, but as you mentioned, this is a guy that was at Stanford, went through spring practices with Stanford, and was a highly touted quarterback. We certainly know the Bachmeier name, Hank Bachmeier. BYU got, you know, an opportunity to see him with Boise State.
And he spoiled BYU's perfect season
yes,
in 2021.
And then moved around to a couple of different places. But not only do you have that lineage, but you look at what type of quarterback Bear Bachmeier is. He was ranked number 11 as a quarterback in 2025. 6,800 passing yards and 92 total touchdowns. The question is, can he get himself up to speed enough to really put himself in the mix? I think we all anticipate that this is your guy probably in 2026.
It's hard to argue against that with
the way
that he is as a quarterback and how he fits the system seamlessly, what Aaron Roderick wants to do.
So if he's going to be the guy in 2026 and he makes up enough ground going into 2025 because of the point that you made in terms of having a new quarterback and this schedule may be beneficial for a situation like that, does it lend itself more to the idea that Bear Bachmeier could get the start? Here's what I know. I have heard people say enough how impressed they have been with how quickly he's picked things up to this point. And look, you go to Stanford, you're a pretty smart guy. So I think it's a wild card. What I'm curious is how much of a wild card will he be and how much will he force BYU's hand come fall camp? I think you said it perfectly. It's very exciting what he could bring to this mix.
I am of the opinion, and maybe this is just me being the cautiously optimistic approach of a mentality here, but I would like for Bear Bachmeier to be able to just watch for one season. Now, if situationally things happen and things aren't going well for BYU at quarterback, maybe there's an injury or two, and he has to play, that's different, but I would not want him to feel pressure, Jason, like he has to now fast forward. Because I don't think that rarely works out for guys.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got to go. You got to fast forward to be ready to be the guy. Then you start putting all types of internal pressure on you. If he could just relax a little bit, be like, just in the words of Kevin Young, stack days. Just stack days, get a little bit better, really slowly integrate yourself into the BYU football program. You're going to be the guy, but I don't feel like BYU's in a good place if they feel like they have to start Bear Bachmeier in game one.
I don't
think it'll be a good thing for him.
No, and I think if Bear Bachmeier ends up being the starting quarterback, it's going to be because he earned it. I don't think that they're going to feel like they're going to force him into a situation he's not ready for, especially not when you have guys behind him that do have experience at the collegiate level.
He can take
a
breath.
And been in the system already for a full year.
Yeah, Bear can take a breath.
If he gets it, it means he's earned it. And that should excite fans that a guy that's that highly touted has come in and that quickly earned it. But I guess at the end of the day, it after talking about all these guys, let's get right to the question.
Yeah.
Who do you think has the inside track right now?
I know there are some of you who are like, look, Bachmeier's a physical beast. I just watched his high school highlights over the weekend because, like us, many of you are looking at the three options. Okay, let's go and examine what all these three quarterbacks can do. I know that the prospect of Bear is exciting. He is a beast. He's a man. Jason, 6'2", 225 pounds. And isn't it interesting? All of them have unique advantages over the other right now. That's what makes this conversation so fun. So I feel like I'm calling a weather forecast for August 30th. Like, what's the weather going to be on August 30th, Jason? Based on history, I'm guessing it's going to be 92 degrees and mostly sunny with low humidity. But we don't know. Right. It could rain on August 30th.
We're not going to hold you to
humid.
This. We're not going to hold you to this on June 30th for 2 months out.
Okay. So that said, I believe that Treyson Bourget right now has the inside track. I'm going with longevity with the program, understanding of the playbook. And I hate to use this phrase because it has a negative connotation, but I feel like Treyson Bourget could be a fantastic game manager early in the season for BYU. He knows who his playmakers are because he has the most chemistry with those guys, knows where to go with the ball, how to distribute it, who his go-to guys are. He could be a fantastic game manager at first to allow himself to figure out what it's like to be the BYU quarterback and handle everything that goes with it. So he's got my inside track. Who do you see as the guy?
I think as of today, it feels like McKay Hillstead would be the guy. And I think it boils down to the fact that he is that more of a dual threat. And that's what we've seen this offense gravitate towards over the last couple of years.
He does have the running capability over Treyson.
Yeah, and I think right now, without having seen him at all, I think that's where as of today I would start things off.
Fascinating conversation. And again, we enter the quarterback battle era for BYU football. Unexpected, to say the least, but we are here. We do have plenty of other news to get to as well.
Yes, we do. In other football news from the weekend. And how about this? On Three's Brett McMurphy announced earlier today that he's going to be joining On Three as their national college football guy. He reported that the Big 12 is doing away with the league's preseason media poll. So no more will we be able to find out who was picked so low and then they defied all the odds to be in the top two or win the... No more are we going to have these stories of teams using it as motivation.
Yes, yes.
Since that the Big 12 ADs and coaches decided they're doing away with it. They're still going to have all league teams to start out in the preseason. But what do you make of this? Is this a big deal, good move by the conference?
At first, I was a little bummed. But then I thought, I'm only bummed because I work in the media and I like preseason context.
Yes.
And it gives us things to talk about, to be bugged about. You know, if BYU is picked too low, they're going to be ultra motivated, and that's a good thing. Like, the context of that is fun in the moment. But then I took a step back and was like, you know what? They've been so far off more often than not.
I think that's what this boils down to.
And it makes, in some ways, the media kind of look dumb. I don't think they want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, last year, the team picked last.
Yeah.
16th, won the stinking conference.
Yeah.
Like, the top four were what? 6, 11, 13, and 16 in the preseason poll?
Whoops.
Nobody in the top five was even in the top four?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that definitely factors into it. So I'm actually coming around to this. Like, I'm okay not having a preseason media poll in the conference.
At the end, honestly, this is more for us to have content for our shows. And like you said, for us to be able to talk about teams getting disrespected and, you know, it's a talking point.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter.
Okay. We did put out our own Big 12 preseason media polls back on May 13th on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You and I did it together.
Yes.
Fitting that we're back together to discuss this.
Yes.
So knowing what we know about BYU and what they have recently traversed with the quarterback position and how important that position is for every major football team, how would you alter your Big 12 preseason poll when it comes to where BYU lands? Because you had them number two in early May.
Yeah, look, maybe I'm just being a stubborn, blue-goggled BYU guy. I'm not going to keep them at two.
Okay.
I'm going to drop them down to four.
Okay.
I still believe that this team is more than capable of still being a top five team in this conference.
You believe the defense is that good.
The defense is that good, and whoever the quarterback is going to be blessed with a wealth of options. And so I will move them from 2 to 4, which is where you had them when we did this in May.
Yeah, I picked BYU behind Arizona State, Iowa State, and Sawyer Robertson-led Baylor. So the Cougars at 4. You have dropped them to where I had them, as you pointed out initially. This is so tough because when you are in a 16-team conference, you can still have a winning season, a good season in league, and finish, I don't know, 7th. And I do associate some luck with the 7, Jason, so call it superstition. I'm going to drop BYU to the 7 spot behind Texas Tech and Kansas State, who bring back Avery Johnson, and apparently the Wildcats are ultra-motivated, and they're looking at a team like BYU and saying, like, why can't we do that? So I'm going to put BYU just behind Texas Tech and Kansas State now at 7. Not saying BYU isn't capable. Maybe they do ramp up, and whoever the quarterback is, they get really comfortable in the early part of the season. I do believe whoever the starting quarterback is, Jason, BYU can start the season 5-1. Like, whoever it is.
Oh, I agree with that.
Bachmeyer, Borgay, or Hillstead, all three are capable enough to lead the team through the easier portion of the schedule and go 5-1. What do you do in the back six, and how ready are you for the back six that includes a stretch of Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and two of those on the road? That, man, that's really where BYU is going to prove themselves as a team. So you've got them at 4 now. I've got them at 7. Can't wait to see how wrong we are.
Well, BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from Big 12 Football Media Days from the Star in Frisco, Texas on July 8th and 9th. Tune in next Tuesday and Wednesday beginning at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, where AJ DiBonsa and Richie Saunders are located in the way too early NBA mock drafts. Plus, a former Cougar star returns to BYU as an assistant coach. Details on the way. This is BYUSN. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. Let's get to a wealth of Monday headlines.
In case you missed it, here is a summary of updates regarding BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff's legal situation. KSL and ESPN's Pete Thamel reported that a civil lawsuit against BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff has now been dismissed. Attorneys for both sides filed a joint motion to dismiss the case earlier this morning. Yesterday, several reports, including those from ESPN's Pete Thamel, reported that Jake Retzlaff plans to transfer from Brigham Young University.
On threes, Brett McMurphy reporting that the Big 12 Conference will not have a football preseason media poll this season. We just talked about it. This comes 1 year after Big 12 champion Arizona State was picked dead last, 16th out of 16 teams. McMurphy adding the conference will still have preseason all-league teams. Individuals going to get their accolades. Big 12 Football Media Days go down next week at the Star in Frisco, Texas, July 8th and 9th.
BYU basketball's A.J. DiBonsa shined for Team USA in leading the U19 team to 2 wins at the FIBA World Championship Games in Switzerland on Saturday. DiBonsa scored a game-high 18 points in Team USA's win over Australia. Yesterday, DiBonsa scored 16 in helping lead Team USA to a win over France. DiBonsa and the Americans return to action for their final pool play game tomorrow against Cameroon.
I spy gold in A.J.'s future. Speaking of A.J. DiBonsa, he and Richie Saunders both featured in way too early 2026 NBA mock drafts. Yep, post-NBA draft, what do? We spin it forward to the next year. ESPN's Jonathan Givony says DiBonsa will go 2 overall. He has Saunders also being drafted 59 overall. The Athletic's Sam Vecenie, in his mock draft, has A.J. going 3 overall and Richie Saunders being selected at 48.
I really liked Gavoni's mock. It's not just because he had him going 2, speaking of DiBonsa, but where he had him going. 2 to our Utah Jazz.
There you go.
BYU women's basketball's Delaney Gibb made her debut for the Canadian women's national team at the FIBA AmeriCup this past weekend. In Team Canada's first game, Gibb scored 9 points in a win over El Salvador. Yesterday, Gibb scored 2 points in a Canadian win over Argentina. Gibb and Team Canada return to play later today against Brazil.
BYU women's basketball head coach Lee Kamard announces the hirings of former standout Paisley Johnson Harding and Andrew Curtis as assistant coaches. Johnson Harding, BYU's all-time leader in games played, of course, helped lead BYU to 3 NCAA tournament appearances. She spent last season as an assistant coach at Utah Valley University. Curtis, by the way, comes to BYU after spending the last 9 seasons as the head coach of the Perry High School girls basketball team.
BYU's James Corrigan was named one of 10 semifinalists for the Bowerman, which goes to the Male and Female Athlete of the Year in track and field. Finalists for the Bowerman will be announced on July 8th.
And congratulations to all of BYU athletics for finishing the 2024-2025 athletic calendar season, ranked number 25 overall in the Learfield Directors Cup standings, first among all Big 12 teams. This takes into account every sport a university participates in at the NCAA level. So to finish top 25 is very impressive. Second time in the last 5 years, by the way, BYU as an athletic department has had a top 25 finish. After the break, BYU TV dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss how the potential departure of Jake Retzlaff impacts expectations for Cougar football at the quarterback position. Who does he think has the inside track? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. A very busy Monday. We are live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. We now welcome in our dual threat analyst. You know him as Uncle B. He is Blaine Fowler, national champion quarterback, is with us to discuss that very thing at BYU, the quarterback position, among other things. Blaine, how are you this morning?
Good, guys. I always like when you say Uncle B in Studio B. It just sounds good. I love it.
It rolls off the tongue, if you will.
Okay? Yes,
so it does. We'll stay with that. Okay, Blaine, we just got done discussing, after Jake Retzlaff and the reports that he's leaving BYU, the remaining 3 options for BYU at quarterback, Treyson Borgay, McKay Hillstead, and Bear Bachmeier, in order of how long each of those 3 have been with the team. So what do you make of what BYU has in the stable if indeed they have to replace Jake Retzlaff and be ready with somebody new on August 30th?
It's interesting. I had a conversation with Kalani at the beginning of the summer about the quarterback position. And, you know, as they go into summer, it's not like it is in fall camp when you say, hey, this is our starter. We're going to give him 65% of the reps. We think this is, you know, we're going to battle for number 2. We're going to split the rest of it with those 2 guys. In the summer, everybody kind of rotates through on their reps. And Kalani said, my hope for Jake is that he can learn from the mistakes that he made last season and he can become a better game manager because we really don't need him to go out and win games. We're so solid defensively with what we have coming back, and there are so many weapons on offense. We need him to play within the offense, be really, really smart, get the ball to playmakers in space, and let the defense and the playmakers make plays, which is really, really interesting because now – As Jake moves on and we go to either Treyson or McKay or Bear, I think it's the same thing. I think what Kalani said about Jake is exactly what applies to these 3 quarterbacks. Who will do the best job of being a good game manager, getting the ball to all of these weapons in space, and letting those guys go make plays and taking care of the football and playing within the offense? That's what Kalani was looking for when he thought Jake was coming back. I think that's still what BYU was looking for. And I think that these guys, especially Treyson McKay, have enough experience in this offense now where they've both been here for more than a year that they understand where the ball's supposed to go. And if they can get it up on time and in the right spots, BYU can be very, very good, especially with the defense that they have coming back.
Okay, so is someone, Blaine, who has played this position and understands what it takes to be in an offense like this, make the case for all 3 of these quarterbacks that are in the running and why they would be the guy that would get the nod. Let's start with Treyson Borgay.
So Treyson, the nice part is both Treyson and McKay have played. So Treyson has played in games. He played in 10 games at Western Michigan. I mean, he didn't play a bunch of Power 4 schools. He did get a start against Miami back in 2023. Best games against Ball State where he played out of his mind, 24 of 39, 328 yards, three touchdowns. They had a big win against Ball State. So he has played. He understands what it takes to be the leader out there on the field and do that. He's got more size than McKay has in terms of the two experienced guys at 6'2 and 205 pounds. If everything is equal between those two as you get into fall camp, you might give the nod to Trayson just because you would say he might be a little bit more durable because he's a little bit bigger, but he doesn't have quite the quickness that McKay has to be able to run around and make plays. So I would say experience. Trayson has experience. He's got a big arm. He can make all the throws. And you know what? He comes from a football family. Both of his brothers, one plays quarterback, one plays wide receiver at Arizona State. Their sister plays volleyball at Arizona State. This is a kid that comes from a really athletic family that has high expectations. So I don't think the moment is going to be too big for Trayson. This is what he's prepared for. This is what their family expects their kids to do, to play at a high level. There's going to be an adjustment for anybody going from high school to Division I. And then there's an adjustment going from, you know, from a G5 program to playing P4 schools every year. Players are bigger, faster. The holes are smaller. The receivers, the DBs close faster. But I think he has enough experience and he knows this offense well enough that he could be what I said Kalani and I were talking about at the beginning of the summer.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Bear Bachmeier is a very intriguing case, as you have alluded to and as Jason and I have discussed. Blaine, I'm of the opinion that I would almost rather he have more time to adjust to BYU, their playbook, the style, and just watch and observe and be able to learn and grow that way before he's thrust into the spotlight. Because I think at some point he is going to be the guy and he's going to be really good for BYU. How much time does he need to get to a place where BYU feels comfortable putting him in a very high-profile and pressure-packed situation?
First off, Spencer, I agree with you 100% that it would be best for him to be able to watch for a little bit. Now, whether that's the whole season, I mean, ideally, you know, if Jake was coming back, you'd say, hey, Bear, we're going to try to get you in four games and redshirt you, right? But we're not going to put you in critical situations where you could cost the game. But we want to get you in games and have you get a feel. We want you to have a year in this offense. Would have been nice if he didn't go to Stanford first because he graduated in December. And if he could have been here for spring ball, I would have felt a little bit differently about it. But he's learning the offense on the fly as they're just working out in player-run practices in the summer. And then he'll get a full dose with the coaches in the fall. Of course, he's watching a lot of film. But if you ask me who is the most talented quarterback in the program right now with all of the measurables that you need, you can see he's a big guy, 6'2", 225 pounds. He has everything you want in a quarterback to be a big time player at this level. So he's the most talented player. He clearly, in my mind right now, has the most upside. But guys, we've had great quarterbacks at BYU that if we go back and look at them playing as a freshman, they were horrible. And I don't think that John Beck or Ty Detmer, who's the Heisman Trophy winner, would be mad at me and their dear friends for saying they weren't great as freshmen. That is a lot. And remember, these were great quarterbacks. Ty really struggled at times as a freshman. So if you had to play Bear right away, what you would get is some spectacular plays and then some decisions that you would go, oh, we have to forgive that because he's a freshman. But at this level, with a level of competition every week, middle of the pack Big 12 teams will beat you if your quarterback makes a couple of critical errors. So I would like to see him be able to watch this season and get in four games. Now, I may change my mind if he gets six or seven games in and he's had a little bit of experience and things are looking differently or somebody gets hurt. At that point, maybe he'd be more ready. But to start him and roll him out there in game one, wow. If BYU has to do that, I think that's a lot to ask for a true freshman, as good as he is and as much potential as he has.
Blaine, you had mentioned that Kalani, regardless of the quarterback, is going to expect the same things that he would have of Jake. But with the potential of a quarterback change, when you look at this team as a whole and what is possible, does it change your expectations at all for what this team can accomplish this year?
I think it puts a little more weight on the defense to be, I hate to say even better, they were the number one defense in the Big 12 last year. But maybe they get that scoring defense down a couple of points, and they're a top five type team there. Because the defense can provide great field position. When you have a young quarterback, you want short fields, right? So play great defense. I feel really, really good about BYU's punting and kicking game. They're lights out on special teams. So I think you want the player to do the same things that you would have Jake do, and that's take care of the football. And maybe that's who they go. Who's going to do the best job of taking care of the football? You know, we didn't talk much about McKay. With McKay, you may add some things into this offense in the run game. When I watch him on tape, and then when I see him running around, he's not as big. They list him at 5'10". I don't know. He has a rifle of an arm, but this guy can run all over the place and make plays. So maybe if you play McKay, you add some things in the quarterback run game where he can really put pressure on defenses with his feet. And he's the kind of guy, if he drops back and you don't stay in your rush lane and you let him squeeze through, He's like a little bit like Jaren, where he's not just going to go get a first down. He might run 60 yards for a touchdown. Mm. So he has that added dimension of being able to run it. But to me, when it comes back, I think the decision that Aaron has to make is going to be made on who's managing this offense, who's playing within the offense. There's all these weapons at running back and tight end and wide receiver. Who gets the balls to the guy that we need the ball to at the right time in the right spot and lets them go do the work? And whoever does that best will get the job, I think, for that first game. And, you know, frankly, I feel really good about all three of these guys. I worry about Bear's experience. I'd like to get him experience, but I think he's crazy talented. I like the other two guys' experience. Remember, McKay started four games, played 8 games in 2023. So you have two guys that have been here a year that have played in college football games. So BYU's not in a bad position. They have depth. These guys are all smart guys. Heck, McKay was first team academic all Mountain West when he was at Utah State. They understand this offense. BYU's not in as dire straits as people might think. And I don't think this changes the number of games they win.
Blaine Fowler on BYU Sports Station. Okay, Blaine, in 20 seconds, we need you to pick your starter as of June 30th. And I know this is tough. But if you had to pick a guy to be the starter on August 30th. This is 2 months from now. Who are you giving the very slight edge to right now?
This is a hard one.
I know.
I think maybe Trayson, because he's the most just plug and play to run the offense the way it is. Although I love McKay's big play ability with his feet. And so that's why I'm torn. I think Trayson just plug in and he just runs the exact same offense you're going to have. I think with McKay, you should add some stuff for him, a la what Arizona does with Fifita, right? And so probably Trayson with a tiny edge. But to me, you go into fall camp and it's a competition and you let Bear compete too. I think you let all three of these guys compete and you keep like a spreadsheet of exactly what they do. And the smartest guy that plays and takes care of the ball the best is the guy you start on day one.
Great stuff from Blaine Fowler. Uncle B from Studio B in a roundabout.
There we go.
Good to talk with you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
After the break, football timeout for some BYU men's basketball. Assistant coach Will Voigt joins us to discuss what it means to have Yegor Demin go as a top 8 pick in the NBA draft and what he's seen from A.J. DiBonta. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to Studio B and a Monday edition of BYU Sports Nation. Recently, we spoke with BYU men's basketball assistant coach Will Voigt to discuss what a top 8 NBA draft pick means for the program and all of that pushing forward, as well as what has him most excited about what he's seeing from A.J. DiBonta and others in practice. This is Will Voigt on BYUSN.
Hard not to start with Yegor, Will. What was your reaction to him being selected number 8 overall?
Yeah, wow. It's just, you know, such a cool moment. You know, obviously a lot of hard work for all of us, but especially him. So I think we all really feel proud to see that. I know everybody was kind of tuning in. We have our sports camps going on, and everybody kind of snuck out to make sure, you know, we could watch it live. But we're all really, really proud and excited for him.
Take us back to when you first heard about him, because Travis Hanson told us, hey, he made a phone call to Brandon Santiago and Kevin Young, and like, hey, I found this kid. And obviously he's connected to Russia, having played there a bunch. You hear about this kid, and now here we are, he's number 8 in the draft. Tell us about how this all happened.
Yeah, well, you know, interestingly enough, I wasn't on board yet. And so Coach Young...
Physically, not emotionally.
Yeah. Coach Young had been talking to me about joining the staff. And then I started getting calls from people connected to Yegor's agents about, like, oh, you know, I hear you might be going, you know, to BYU, and I hear they're talking to this kid, and you know, I don't know anything about it, you know, both the BYU situation and the kid, but immediately kind of like got thrusted into that whole recruiting process as an outsider. So I was around all the NBA personnel at that moment, and they were, you know, kind of coming at it from an excitement of having him close by. Obviously, it makes it easier for them to evaluate. And then, of course, when I talked to Coach Young and, you know, realized that we were, in fact, recruiting him, and kind of seeing it all come together was pretty fun.
When Yegor shows up, obviously he physically grows. He gains 16 pounds, and he works hard and whatnot. But what changes have you seen physically, emotionally in him since he came to BYU to now?
Yeah, you know, Yegor brought a maturity with him that I think was unique and probably a product of, you know, having been at Real Madrid at a young age and having left home. So, you know, I don't think we can take full credit for that. But, you know, leading a team that had success, transitioning to you know, the college game in the U.S., like, these are all big adjustments.
The officiating in the Big 12,
right.
It's rough and
yeah,
tumble.
The physicality, yep. and, you know, the way that certain teams approached him once they had scouted him. And he had to navigate a lot. And, you know, it wasn't like, hey, this is just an uphill, you know, upward climb, and everything was easy. So I think for him, the growth that came from that, right? Like, he hit adversity, and, you know, he had an injury that he had to come back from, and, you know, various things really prepared him for his biggest moments, you know, not only for our team, but then at the draft combine, where he, you know, really, you know, did well for himself, and I think it's reflected in where he ended up being drafted.
BYU men's basketball assistant coach Will Voigt is with us on BYU Sports Nation. In Kevin Young's introductory press conference, it's been quoted and documented several times, but he said he wants BYU to become the best place for young men to come and develop and get to the NBA. Well, now we're seeing the likes of A.J. DeBonsa and Richie Saunders in his development. You get Robert Wright III. It feels like this is not just a one-off with Yegor. It's a clear trend. So, how is this happening? What is the magic or the secret sauce, if you will, that is allowing this to happen at BYU?
Well, you know, credit to Coach Young. He laid out the vision for everybody, and probably in those early days, there, you know, were some eye rolls, you know. But it starts with the character of the kid that we recruit. So, you know, obviously the professional development and the NBA and all these things are great, but we're mindful of the mission, and we're not going to lose sight of that. So Yegor is a great example. You know, a spiritual kid, somebody who's always going to be a spokesman for BYU. I think AJ is going to be the exact same thing. So there has to be a fit, right? It's not like we're just going out and like, hey, let's just find the, you know, the next great basketball player. So I think what we've done as a staff is try to identify that, you know, like who kind of combines those two things for us. And then we've put together a system here where we show that we can develop them. You know, our style of play, obviously, everybody can see it's a pro style of play. I think that gives Yegor, you know, a huge leg up on a lot of other players. You know, same for AJ or whoever else comes here. And, you know, the transition into the NBA game is not going to be a big one because essentially that's how we run it. And then we're fortunate. You know, I mean, BYU has all the resources necessary for these guys to develop. So, you know, when you go to the annex and you see our strength and conditioning programs, you see the weight room, you see, you know, the diet plans, all these things, they're almost in an NBA program right now. So I think it's a perfect storm of all these things coming together. And, you know, I believe Yegor is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. And I think there's going to be a lot more to come.
This is perhaps the most anticipated BYU men's basketball season ever coming up. For good measure, what kind of work is going into making sure you guys are ready for a heck of a schedule and, of course, to challenge for what you hope is a crazy awesome run in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, it feels like last year we were just barely keeping our head above water, right? Like, we all kind of came together late. We're all figuring our, you know, our staff out, the, you know, BYU out, putting a roster. There's just so many things going on at once. So I think all of us feel a lot better heading into this next season, right? Like, there's clarity in so many areas now that we didn't really have going into last season. So, you know, that brings a lot of optimism. You know, obviously the talent that we have coming in, we're excited about, but also, you know, we've been through it. So, you know, we know how to pace the development with them. We know how to put the group together. There's scheduling aspects that you mentioned now, right, that we know how to pair with the grueling Big 12 schedule. So I think we're much better prepared overall, you know, to have some success.
On the court, what are you seeing during summer workouts that has you just straight up most excited as a basketball coach when you watch the product on the floor?
Well, you know, there's a lot of new guys, and, you know, sometimes that can mean, you know, a little bit of a cultural rebuild. And I think that's where we've been probably most pleased is, you know, our new guys have come in right away and I think understood the culture that we've built, you know, from a competitive standpoint, style of play standpoint. So whereas, you know, maybe we thought a lot of the summer is just going to be like getting them to learn our standards, they've kind of come in and met them early on. So I think that's got all of us, you know, really pleased. And credit to those guys too, right? Like whether it was they watched this play or we played against them or whatever it might have been, they came in understanding, I think, what we were building and what they would need to do and bring to the table. So I think we're off to, you know, a great start.
Kennard's like, wait, I didn't play you guys. Why are you calling me? Tyler and Nate are like, wait, yeah. I thought it was a debut. I thought it was a tryout. I do want to ask you about A.J. Dubonsa with Team USA's U19 team. The Hezzy one-dribble throwdown that we saw, you taught him that, right? That was you?
Yeah, I take full credit.
Clear development from Will Voigt.
Yes, and those his jumping ability as
yes,
well.
Yes, all so. Of that, all yeah. of that. Those are crazy plays. I mean, we're about to have some fun with this kid, are we not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody realizes the talent that's there. You know, now as a staff, obviously we're trying to harness and develop that in certain areas, but he already brings to the table a lot of special things. So to me, and I told him this before he left, his competitive spirit, though, has been really what I've been most impressed with. So you would understand an 18-year-old kid with the hype that he has could come in and maybe be feeling himself a little bit. And from day one, I mean, he's come in, he's worked hard, he's played hard, he competes in everything that we're doing. Like, I mean, he has brought a lot of maturity in that aspect that I wasn't really prepared for. So you combine that then with, you know, these special moves that are going to pop out. And, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about the season he's about to have.
When Richie was quoted by someone as saying, I've never had more open shots, I thought, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Richie shooting open shots is
AJ
awesome.
Creates opportunities for his teammates. Yeah. And Kevin Young talked a lot about that as well. And now AJ's on the cover of Men's Health. So life happens fast.
Yeah. That's pretty yeah. big.
Right.
That's pretty big.
Right.
Will, great to talk with you. Congratulations on all of your success. And please don't leave.
Thanks, Will.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I mean that sincerely. We don't want him to go anywhere. Will Voigt, great stuff. We'll wrap up today's show with our Rises shout-out and our elite voice of the day. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation with our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated in... It's an elite voice in a roundabout way. It's just really cool because A.J. Dubonsa is on the cover of Men's Health magazine, Jason.
First of all, I appreciate they approached you first. You declined. You didn't want that. So I'm happy that A.J. was able to get this honor.
Hey, he's playing well in the FIBA
yes,
World Championships as well. Today's Rise is shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Sorry, ladies. Zach Wilson is off the market. Got married over the weekend. For those watching, you can see the photos. Congratulations to the Wilsons.
Married his longtime girlfriend, Nikki Delano. Congratulations. Our thanks to today's guests, Blaine Fowler and Will Voigt.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!